go ahead, Chairman.
All right, I'm going to call the meeting to order. So good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the May 19, 2021 regular meeting of the Commission on Homelessness. We'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance. Supervisor Wagner, would you please lead us in the pledge? You can hear it. Oops, did we get, well, did Don, did you hear me? I guess not.
Apologies, no, and I was muted. Am I to lead the pledge?
Yes, would you do that for us, please?
I am honored to do so. So if you would, thank you for the photo of the flag. If everyone would stand and join with me in renewing our pledge to the greatest symbol of the greatest nation on planet Earth. I pledge allegiance
to the flag
of the United States of America.
To the Republic.
Public.
For which it stands.
One nation.
Under God.
Indivisible. With liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Mr. Supervisor.
Mr. Chairman, my honor and pleasure. Thank you.
Okay. The agenda today contains a brief general description of each item to be considered. Except as provided by law, no action shall be taken on any item not appearing on the agenda. The Commission encourages public participation. If you wish to speak on any item appearing on the agenda or during public comments, you'll be instructed to join public comments via Zoom by pressing *9 on your phone or the raise hand button in Zoom. When you're unmuted, please begin your comments by identifying yourself either with your name or if you wish to use a pseudonym, you may. Speakers will be given 3 minutes to speak and the clerk will run the timer and announce when your time is up. With that, let's move on to roll call. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Thank you. We'll start with our chairman, Doug Chafee. And Vice Chairman Daniel Young.
Here.
Supervisor Don Wagner.
Here.
Ken Domer. Scott Stiles.
Here.
Paul Wyatt.
Here.
Sue Parks.
Here.
Tom Casella. Randy Black. Richard Afable?
Here.
Jim Palmer?
Here.
Jack Twan?
Here.
Marshall Moncrief? District Attorney Todd Spitzer?
Here.
Tita Smith?
Present.
Teresa Murphy? Jean Ari?
Here.
And Matt Bates.
Be here.
Here.
And I can confirm we have a quorum of voting members present.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. We now move on to discussion items, of which there is only one. I know Jason and I put our heads together after I was named the chair. I wanted to be sure we had a viable tool working for us. And so what we thought we might consider would be pillars based somewhat on our integrated services model. Jason, I'll let you take it away and explain how this could work for the consideration of the board.
And actually, Mr. Chair, before we get started, I'd like to read the
item. Oh, I'm sorry, you need to read the item. I apologize.
And see if there's any members of the public that would like to speak on this item before we start. So item one is the presentation by Jason Austin, Executive Director of the Commission to End Homelessness and the County's Director of Care Coordination. At this time, any members of the public wishing to speak on item one, please press *9 on your telephone now or raise your hand in the Zoom app.
Where are you at?
I don't know, it doesn't matter.
Let me just get just a few moments if there's any attendees that wanted to speak on this item. I And Chairman, I do not have any requests to speak for this item. So go ahead, Mr. Austin.
Thank you. All right, Jason, if you would lead us into a possible restructuring of the commission.
Sounds good. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think what we are focusing on today is the idea of how do we restructure our commission to end homelessness and look at ways to focus in on specific goals and understanding what would really fall within the commission's purview. How do we start looking at new ideas and innovative practices that can really be focused in on as overall strategies to help individuals and families experiencing homelessness here in this county, as well as the stakeholders, service providers, and agencies that work with them and engage them. So this presentation will be focused on that focusing process, on establishing specific focus areas, developing an ad hoc work group to focus in on those the specific service area pillars that we're going to be talking about, and hopefully seeing more integration and collaboration between this commission and the Continuum of Care Board. We do have two members from the COC board on the commission, but I think that we can look at other ways to really encourage collaboration and focus in on where the COC board services, dollars are, again, with the commission as strategy and overall focus. So we'll go to the next slide. So today we'll be talking about the homeless system of care pillars and potentially developing an ad hoc working group strategy to really focus in on goal setting, developing strategies, and ways to have a smaller work group that could then inform the larger commission so that we can really focus on getting some things done. So as we're talking about services in our Orange County homeless system of care, our programs really focus in on, I think, four main pillars. So we've got prevention, we've got outreach and supportive services, shelter, and housing. So as we develop our work group philosophy and our strategies, all of these areas are represented in the different services that are provided throughout the county. We're gonna go through them all today, but our real focus, I think, in what we're talking about really needs to be, I think, on how to develop housing opportunities. All of these other services and pillars really kind of feed into that overall sense of where do people go? We need to talk about our system flow. We need to talk about how people engage and use these services, how they're outreached to, how people connect to supportive services like mental health, substance use, and the variety of other supportive services, physical health care, but also how we link people to either navigation centers, shelters, next step opportunities, and ultimately housing, so that we're not trapped in this loop of having to keep building more and more shelters without anywhere for people to go. And so that'll be, I think, a solid discussion point for us to talk about in how do people prevent homelessness and keeping people housed where they are? How do they outreach to folks that are experiencing homelessness on any level? How do they connect them to the right support services? How do we engage and use our shelter system as part of an overall system with flow where people have somewhere to go to reduce the time that people are using the programs and shelter services and also having somewhere for them to then wind up as housing being the ultimate end destination. And we'll go to the next slide. But one other piece, you'll see some data points in each of these pillar slides. We did do our mapping survey and we have our results that we'll send the larger survey. I don't think we sent that out yet. So we'll send that out probably in the next day or two, but there'll be clips from the data we are able to collect in some of the slides. So we're talking about prevention first. Prevention is programs that offers different levels of support service focused on stabilizing somebody's housing to keep them from collapsing or falling into some form of homelessness. So different kinds of programs with prevention include emergency rental assistance, housing navigation programs, rental assistance programs, landlord support, financial education, things that are in place to help folks that are currently housed stay housed. And if you look at some of the data we were able to find, these are some initial numbers of the kinds of programs and numbers that currently exist in our system of care now. You can see that there are a significant number of housing navigation programs, different kinds of prevention programs and services that exist. So I show some of this initial data because as we're talking about these pillars, I know that there's been over the years with the commission different kinds of presentations to help educate about the different varieties of services that exist. But we have to, I think, really start moving on and looking at how do we engage subject matter expertise so that we can start coming up with using existing programs and services, coordination, and really maximizing what either currently exists or thoughts for next steps to really focus in on, in this case, prevention programs to use them to their maximum advantage. So we'll go on to the next slide. So outreach and supportive services. My previous role, I was in charge of a large function of our outreach system here in the county and healthcare agency. We have lots of fantastic outreach providers that work every day, both on the streets and our shelter system. Outreach, to quickly define, is a process of engaging with people where they are. If they are unsheltered, living on the streets, in cars, encampments, it takes a lot of engagement sometimes to really develop that trusting relationship with folks that are on the streets or in other locations, so that they are at a point where they feel the services being offered by an outreach provider or program are something that they are either emotionally ready to engage in, or they're just ready to take that step. And that can run the gamut from medical service to dentistry to a veteran engaging in with the VA for support services, to housing or shelter, to mental health services and substance use programs. And it takes sometimes quite a bit. Some people are ready to go. They make a strong connection with their outreach worker and they start working together on planning to hopefully make next steps into housing opportunities. Some people, it takes a while. And I've had outreach staff or myself even that have been working with people for years. And it's about building that trust, finding that connection and that ability to make those next steps. And then the supportive services, it's about linking people to whatever their initial needs are and to see that that's something you can trust me on, we can then take it to the next step. That can run the gamut from, as we were saying, mental health, substance use, domestic violence services, education, religious support, reentry programs, case management. So these support services are very important and they have a strong connection to outreach because a lot of times it's the outreach worker or even shelter provider that are working to engage and link people to those next step options. So we're able to again capture some data from our mapping survey. This gives you a sense of the different kinds of support services that are in existence in addition to a very robust outreach program throughout the county of outreach workers providing initial contacts, ongoing relationship building and linkage to a variety of different services that really run the gamut here. So I'll let you review that when we send out the larger mapping report, but it just shows that we do have a significant number of services that are here for individuals and families experiencing homelessness. Pillar three, so we have, once we've either provided some prevention services, we've outreached, we've connected people, shelter is I think a major function of what our continuum and system of care is really here to offer some next level service. Shelter programs are generally considered to be entry points. They offer different levels of supportive services or linkage to the supportive services that individuals need to hopefully then create the next step onto housing. We don't want shelters to be an end point in anyone's journey in life. But for some people, even taking that next step to a shelter program, it's a big step for them. To go from wherever they were living in an unsheltered situation, from the streets to a vehicle, to couch surfing. It could be a variety of things, but the shelters can be a navigation stop so that people can then make decisions based on taking that next step. We have our breakdown of shelters by our service planning areas. North service planning area has 1,205 beds. Central is 1,495 beds. South, 163 beds. We have 161 beds that cover the entire county for general kinds of services like domestic violence programs and things like that. So it's a total of 3,024 shelter beds. We have had significant uptake in the building of new shelter programs and other kinds of housing programs over the last few years, which is a tremendous addition to our overall system of care. We've worked to create some standardization between shelters and how shelters are operated, how staff interact and offer services to individuals who are using these shelter programs. And there's always more to work on, but I think we're really in a positive place right now compared to even where we were a couple of years ago. But as we talk about shelters, we can never have the discussion shelter without the discussion about housing. We have to have next steps and system flow in what our programs are offering. And to be able to use these services as a stop in the journey, not the end point, and to work with people to look at what options are really available. And I see as we talk about this discussion of developing a work group, we have a lot of opportunities right now, both with the incoming dollars that they're coming from the state, from Treasury, and also looking at how to truly be innovative here. Shelters and housing are very important, but we also, I think, need to be looking at what other systems can we really develop in what housing means. And let's go to the next slide. Housing definitely can mean things like permanent supportive housing, in building units, in having rental assistance, having bridge housing options, having rapid rehousing dollars to be able to house somebody quickly. But those dollars tend to be temporary, you know, over the course of, say, 18 months or a couple of years. Permanent housing is always our goal. But I think something I encourage and hope that if we move forward with our ad hoc work group idea is what other options can we develop here as a county to really focus on what does permanent housing mean? We could be looking at things like developing a more robust board and care system or rooms for rent or room and boards, things that could be available on a more immediate basis so that shelters can be definitely one option. But for some folks that may or may not work for them, let's look at the bigger picture now and look at how do we support the people who are engaging individuals and families experiencing homelessness on the streets or in unsheltered situations. How do we engage them and offer other kinds of options for our outreach workers or our hospitals or our law enforcement agencies or anyone just trying to support someone who is experiencing homelessness or for the people themselves and empower them to have opportunity and choice. This could be an opportunity to really look at developing robust other options so that housing could take on additional innovative or best practice ideas for our county. There's some additional data here in housing programs and the numbers of people that they serve. We'll go on to our next slide. So we're talking about what ideas can we come up with to really focus our commission here. It's been lots of, I think, process ideas discussing what exists. We've had lots of discussions about mental health programs, about housing programs, the Housing Finance Trust. But I think we have an opportunity right now to really look at, A, how do we develop a more robust working group to come up with some really solid ideas based on our subject matter experts from our commission and from our community and stakeholders at large? And then B, how do we bring our commission together with the COC board so that we're working together in the same direction at the same time? A lot of funding comes through our COC board from HUD, from the state, and they really direct where the funding goes in overall strategies for funding sources and how to make those into programs. The county and my department acts as the administrative entity for the COC board. We put a lot of these dollars out for RFP, for contracting, but the commission and the COC board could be working a little more in tandem through the development of an ad hoc group to be able to come up with these hopefully really innovative new ideas and then work together on operationalizing them, both from strategy on the commission side to operations and program delivery on the COC board side. So we have some ideas for discussion here with the commission, not only looking at the pillars and developing some goals specifically addressed on the topics within the pillars, but how to use this ad hoc to really come up with some solid ideas with a more sense of urgency in developing the commission's work using the ad hoc group. We'd like to propose a name change for the commission as well. I would suggest something like the Commission on Homelessness and Housing to be able to bring in this idea of not just focusing on solely like quote unquote ending homelessness, but we need to focus on homelessness and what other issues are to address people experiencing homelessness in general. Housing and homelessness together seems to be the way to go. The commission also, we talked about the meeting schedule. I think once we get this working group up and running to be able to work with the commission at large in, with ideas, I think that we can work on operating the working group in addition to the commission, say every other month, but that could be based on recommendations once the working group comes together and meets. So that I think is the end of my overall presentation. I know it's a lot of different ideas with things that all of you work with every day. I'd like to bring this back to the commission for overall discussion and thoughts and response.
Thank you, Jason. Would any commissioner care to comment? Any ideas are most welcome.
Hi, this is Tita Smith. I'm a retired licensed clinical social worker. And my first thought is perhaps doing a survey of the existing providers and asking them in an ideal world, what services would you most like to provide and find that you are best suited to provide? So that we're surveying not only the population in need, but also the population who is in service right now. Just a thought.
Thank you for the thought. Any other commissioner?
Yeah, this is Jim Palmer. Mr. Chairman, I guess as I look at this, one of my big concerns would be, you know, what the sheriff shared with us at our last meeting, the very high percentage of this population being both dealing with substance abuse issues and mental health issues. And our screening data shows that 87% have one or both. And I don't really see that represented here. And I think that as we think of where we want to go and what goals this commission would have, I know the sheriff had mentioned, you know, his goal would be to make sure that when a homeless person is in need on the street, that the response is not by an armed police officer, but instead by somebody that has social work background. I think until we address the issue of not having inventory of treatment beds that are sufficient enough to meet the need that we're currently dealing with on the street, we're going to continually find ourselves in the same situation of looking at resources, talking about resources, but never achieving the actual goals that the commission could achieve.
All right, thank you for those thoughts. Anyone else?
Paul Wyatt wanted to speak.
Yes, I will tag on to the end of Mr. Palmer's comments. On the prevention area, Jason, I think it's economic focused in terms of your listing, but behavioral focus and the causes, you know, the prevention of behavioral issues causing homelessness is an area that also needs to be added in there. So we realize that you can have a couple of real basic reasons for being homeless. One is you simply can't afford to rent a place, and two is nobody will rent to you because of your history of behavioral issues or your current behavior. We need to find ways to prevent homelessness from both of those fronts in order to deal with that. In terms of, you know, bringing it back to the name change, yes, housing's obviously part of the solution. Both housing, affordable housing as part of the prevention program. But I think that prevention, ultimately, if we get it to where we would hope to get our activity, we could cut, I believe we could cut inflow into home, you know, those dropping in by 75%. Over a five-year period. I mean, we should set a goal of how much we're going to use preventive systems to reduce the number of people falling into homelessness on all of those fronts. And I actually think that will be a bigger part of the outcome of this commission if we do it well, is to prevent homelessness than it is to house those who do fall into it. So I don't want to it's easy to say that housing fixes homelessness, but keeping them housed is even more important part of housing. And I don't want to lose focus on the fact that ultimately you reduce stigma, you reduce trauma, you reduce a lot of things if you can keep people housed. And it's a lot easier to find housing because they're already in it. So I don't want to shift too much of the attention to housing. Yes, it's part of the program, but I don't think it should be as big enough, bigger than some of the other parts, I guess. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Madam Clerk, do we have any other hands? Commissioner Wagner, you're muted. There you go.
There we go. I had unmuted. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I kind of want to pick up on something Paul was asking, because he really, I thought, hit what is of my concern as well. It's like, do we have any idea the number of folks that, every year find themselves homeless, and then the next year are not homeless and somebody else falls in, versus the long-term folk, the long-term homeless? I'm the new kid on this commission, and you guys may have these answers, but if we're finding, pick a number, 7,500 people today that are homeless, and 2,500 of them weren't homeless last year and won't be homeless next year. As Paul says, we have two very distinct problems. How do we go about finding that out? Because if we're able to address the behavioral, or at least some of the behavioral issues, and we'll never likely get all of it, but if we're able to address some of the behavioral issues, we may not need to provide housing for those folks, fix their underlying problems, they'll be able to go find it for themselves. And so that is not the long-term burden on the system is not housing, it's mental health. I'm probably saying nothing none of you that you all haven't thought about before, but educate me as the new kid on the block. How do we draw those distinctions that Paul was making, either with what you're proposing here, Jason, or just in general?
Mr. Chairman, if I could respond to that, I have some of that data. This is Paul.
Please go ahead.
In the point in time count, the 2019 point in time count, which is the last one we have since we weren't able to do it this spring, 2,620 of the individuals in that point in time count said that they had become homeless in the 12 months prior to the count. So ultimately, with 2,600 plus coming in every year, and sort of rough data, some of those will solve their own problems. That is, they've encountered a situation and family will reach out, or some others will reach out and we won't see them. And there's probably another 20 or so percent who will leave the area and return to other areas or move on. But we can model that out and adjust those percentages as we go along. But that still leaves us 1,800 or so people that we need to deal with every year, and our current goal of 900 housing units a year won't cut it on that. And I think we need to tackle the other side of taking that. If we could cut that number from 2,600 to 600, we could solve homelessness. And I think that's sort of, we should set targets like that and try to figure out what programs could make that happen.
Thank you. Madam Clerk, do you see any other hands raised, or anyone like to comment? This maybe
can I follow up on that, Mr. Chair?
Please.
Yeah, thank you. And Paul, that great. That's good data. I appreciate that. My questions then would be, say, all right, let's take that 2,600 in the last calendar year in 2019 when we did the test. Are they all, they're all coming into homelessness for different reasons. Some of them have mental illnesses, I would assume. Some of them lost jobs and had economic problems. And so we can't deal with just that 2,600 or 2,000 of them, I guess, without realizing that another group is going to come in, but again, for economic reasons, for mental health reasons, et cetera. So I guess it's a long way of saying, I think your earlier comment is there are two tracks really of homeless, probably more than that, but there are the economic homeless and there are the mentally ill homeless. And just building homes for the number, for those numbers, doesn't end up addressing our problem, I don't think. So maybe I'm asking for a little more data on that.
I will, if I can, respond to a little bit of that roughly. I ran a model out of the 2019 survey of what it would take to actually end homelessness over 10 years and in terms of the various ways we could have tracked in. And I'm sure that we could argue the numbers and the percentages of this might shift, 3 or 5% one way or another that we could measure over time. But roughly, I would say you would take about 40% of those coming in came in with for economic reasons. They got in a situation where they simply couldn't afford to pay the rent at that time. And another 40%, it was behavioral. It could have been mental health, drug addictions, something in that. There's definitely efforts moving to deal with prevention on the economic side. I mean, we need to put more effort into those programs. But on the behavioral side, at the time I did that, and I don't think Marshall's on today, but I challenged him to tell me how you could start to look at Be Well in the prevention area. So, my overall goal for Be Well, of course, would be that you never needed a crisis center because you dealt with it before the crisis became a part where you had to, deal with it as a crisis. But how we start to think about extending those services up to prevention and the Mental Health Services Agency and others have looked at that too. And the problem in all of these is we have to have programs that actually identify those at risk before, they're easier to identify once they're in a crisis, much more difficult to identify. And I think that's where some of our systems work, where those, we've talked about a variety of things, one digital roof or one point of entry, and we've given it many names, but those systems where everybody who is from curious because they're beginning to worry about it, to concern because it's beginning to, they're beginning to feel, that they have to do something to crisis, know exactly how to go and find out what help's available to them or how to get connected to help. So we have a systems part of that puzzle too in prevention that's going to be critical.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Yes, Chairman, Jim Palmer, Sue Parks, and Richard Afable have all indicated they want to speak. So we'll start with Jim Palmer.
Please.
Mr. Chairman, in regards to the name change, I'd be a little wary about adding housing since the county already has a housing authority that's, fully focused on housing. I think this might confuse things. That's all my input.
Go ahead, Sue.
Oh, thank you. So I wanted to just share, and for Supervisor Wagner, one of the things that we commissioned, you might recall, with Danbury Housing and many of the nonprofits, UCI, to do a cost study of who are our homeless in Orange County and the cost and how did they become homeless. And we're actually looking to see about updating that research that was done a few years ago. But I'm happy to share that as a lot of detail. And I think one of the things that it emphasized was how somebody falls into homelessness could be economic, and it's sometimes coupled with something else going on in their home, a divorce, an illness, something else, but they're in a spiral and then they can't afford their place. And then anybody living homeless for any period of time, if they can't get out, is going to develop dependencies and other issues, right? Any of us would if we had to live in that way. So the idea that having a system that can quickly pick somebody off their feet and get them back into some type of housing program is magical, right? Because what we have is this opportunity to help those who have been, living on the streets or in shelters for years now, and they've developed a lot of issues just, again, just as part of the defense of living out there. So I like the plan that that Jason has laid out. I think they're very tangible. I mean, I think we can add more layers in each of them. I think good research can always help guide us, but I'm happy to share that research, or if anybody's interested, we could even do a homelessness 101, you know, kind of an overview of all of that for the commission if you're interested. So I'll throw that out there as an opportunity, maybe get us all on the same page, at least from UCI and the research that's been done. But thank you. And again, I think it's moving in the right track of tangible progress.
Sue, while we've got you, we were discussing the other day the new housing voucher programs that were coming out, which is all good news. Could you share that with us?
I think Jason could probably do a better job than me, but I'll do my best. But so Jason, pick up where I left off, but there is something like 1,033 new vouchers coming into Orange County, which is really excellent news. I think that's probably double than normal that would come in any given year. And that's in addition to what's already been awarded to Orange County. And this is all part of special programs that are coming out from the government. But we have a really big opportunity together to house another 1,000 people that we didn't have vouchers for as we started this year. So it is an amazing opportunity. Now, Jason and his team works, as he said, working with the COC. The COC will come up with a plan of how those vouchers will be used, I believe what populations they'll be directed to. And I think it's going to be an extraordinary opportunity for us collectively to help end homelessness for a lot more people here in Orange County. So lots of the details to come, but Jason, fill in what I didn't say.
Sure, I can pick up from there, Mr. Chair. There is an opportunity right now to for the four housing authorities here in the county to get allocations for a significant number of housing vouchers. So it'll be 1,033 total between the four housing authorities. The issue right now is first accepting the vouchers between the housing authorities, working in developing an MOU with our COC board. And so that'll all be going on over the next 2 weeks. And then from there, developing support services so that not only are people assisted and supported in the navigation part of it, in identifying actual units, landlord incentive dollars to really engage the landlord community throughout Orange County, but also then to support people staying housed once they've been linked and matched to a unit, and really working through that process of being wherever they're coming from into a housing opportunity, so that we want to create a system that makes sense so that we can support a significant number, almost unprecedented at one time, getting people into a housing opportunity. I mean, this is overall, this is an amazing time, even though we're all struggling with COVID and where we are right now as a community, the opportunities that we have in working with these, both the relief dollars, the money coming from the state, from Treasury, there's so many different opportunities. And I stress the idea that I'm throwing out, and I think just the opportunity we have now in having these conversations is so fantastic and valuable that people, you know, having lots of opinions coming from lots of different backgrounds and perspectives, but this is the time right now to really engage in innovative and best practice ideas so that we can not only get these allocations of vouchers or other kinds of funding or programs up and running and really, really help people on a level that at the same time we have not had in the past. So there's a lot of amazing things coming to our county. And I think this is our opportunity to even work more closely with our COC board so that we can all be at the table and all have these important discussions to really guide our overall system of care in a way that I think is really fantastic.
Thank you, Jason. Madam Clerk, you indicated there are others in queue here.
Yeah, Dr. Fadley, go ahead.
Yes, thank you. I want to voice my support for the program. I think, Jason, congratulations. Thank you for simplifying for us and bringing together a plan such as you have. And Chairman Chafee, thanks for the work that you've done on that very much. I also have concern for the name of adding housing to the name for at least two reasons. Number one, housing is one of the four pillars.
So why would we have housing in the name and then in housing in one of the four pillars? So it seems a bit redundant. Why don't we call it the Homelessness and Prevention Commission then? It just seems like one pillar has more focus than the other. And then the second is related to the Continuum of Care Board, which in, you know, I know just enough about that function and that board to be dangerous in this conversation. But you know, that board has been functioning for over two decades, is overseeing HUD funds that are in the tens of millions of dollars, has lots of things going on. It would seem that the function or the purpose, excuse me, the better word of the COC board is a little bit different than this commission. And I think we need to define how those two would come together because they have very different purposes. And that would be just something that just needs to be worked out. So I'll stop there.
Thank you, Dr. Affable.
And Commissioner Stiles had his hand up, but did you still want to make any comments?
No, thank you. I was just going to, Jason mentioned some of the things. Obviously there's, for everybody's memory, I think we have four housing agencies in Orange County. Ours in Garden Grove was probably the smallest of the three. Being Santa Ana, Anaheim, and the county. And so we're excited. I think our allocation is about 117 vouchers. The other agencies have bigger numbers, but you know, we think it represents some really good opportunities here for our agency. So I just wanted to kind of piggyback on some of those comments. That's all.
Well, thank you. Then perhaps I might make a comment if nobody else is wanting to speak at this time?
Not at this time.
Okay. Well, there's a couple caveats here. The commission is a creation of the Board of Supervisors, and its purpose is to simply advise the Board of Supervisors on various policy matters concerning homelessness. It does not have a budget of its own. It cannot create housing, but it can advise on how to do some of those things. Whether the name change is a good idea or not, I think that's for discussion. We may need to even look at a better set of bylaws, and I'm not sure has ever been adopted. There's a number of issues there. These pillars are not intended to be all-inclusive. I think they'd be studied. When I listen to the commission in the past, I hear a lot of excellent discussion and good ideas, but no particular focus in any area. If we are to advise the board and others on how to join in with the continuum of care, for example, it needs some study, some careful thought. And this breaks it into the components of what I think is homelessness is and how we can go about working through the different issues, how they connect, how best practices might come in here. I think each pillar offers an opportunity for innovative new ideas. When you think about it, how does it connect? How does it flow through? What can we do better than has in the past? So I see it as an opportunity for focus. I also see it as an opportunity for advocacy. Have a good idea, we can promote it. We can ask our legislators to chime in. We can present it to the Continuum of Care Board. Here's something that you might consider. But I think it needs to have some careful thought. I think each of these pillars probably at time would have its own committee for study and to bring those ideas back to the board. Ultimately, the board controls the decision. So this is a discussion item. We do have an action item later on where we might create a working group to flesh this thing out. And they would consider and recommend other things, even the name change ideas, and bring it back to the board and see if we can create all these ideas into different pillars and what that might mean for other board members, where you might all participate if you choose to do so, and make this into a meaningful and useful tool to prevent homelessness in the county. I think that's our ultimate goal. Again, we work through other agencies because, we don't have our own budget. We don't have the ability to really create anything, but we can create policy and promote good ideas. So if there are any other comments or not, if there are none, I would like to move on to the action items. All right, thank you, Jason. Great thought. It's been a pleasure working with you the last couple of weeks to kind of flesh out the concept. I think you've hit the nail right on the head the way you move this out here. So now we'll now move on to action items. For public meetings conducted by teleconference, all votes must be taken by roll call. We will first ask, however, to see if there are any, well, no, I'm sorry, I'm getting this thing all mixed up. I'm used to a little bit different system, sorry. The clerk, would you please read item two, and then we'll ask and see if there's any public comments.
Yes, so item two is to approve the Commission to End Homelessness meeting minutes from the April 21st, 2021 regular meeting. At this time, any members of the public wishing to speak on this item, please press star 9 on your phone now or raise your hand in the Zoom app.
Madam Clerk, do you have any public comments?
I don't see any.
On the minutes.
I do see, yes, we have one request to speak. And I don't see any others. So at this time, we have one public commenter, Callie Rutter. So Callie, you should be able to unmute yourself at this time, and I will start the timer. You have 3 minutes.
Hello, my name is Callie Rutter. My pronouns are she and hers. I am formerly homeless or unhoused. I want to say thank you for the work that you're doing, but please, please move through this process with care and considering the masses that you have to work with. Programs aren't one size fits all. And I know that just through being through mass shelters, recuperative cares, transitional housing, bridge housing. And I truly believe if it wasn't for COVID and my having cancer and the formation of Project Room Key, that I never would have been housed. So I became unhoused by simply losing my job and running through that 3 month savings that we all are supposed to have as a buffer. Anyway, I think that's really all I want to say, except for just to please move carefully through this, talk to the unhoused and displaced population, and the solution to homelessness is housing. And so thank you for your time.
Thank you for your comments. Madam Clerk, do we have any other public comments?
No, sir, we do not have any more for this item.
This item concerns approval or minutes. Any corrections, additions, any board member have a suggestion? If not, I'd like a motion to approve, followed by a second.
I'll move.
Thank you, okay. Sue Parks.
Second.
Thank you. Who did the second?
Richard Afable.
Thank you, Dr. Afable. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Yes. Okay. So
I'm sorry, call for the vote.
Yes.
I'll get this straight next time. Okay.
No problem. Okay. So just answer yes, no, or abstain when I call your name. We'll start with our chairman, Doug Chafee.
Aye.
And our vice chairman, Dan Young.
Yes.
Supervisor Wagner.
Stain.
Ken Domer. Scott Stiles.
Yes.
Paul Wyatt.
Yes.
Sue Parks.
Yes.
Tom Casella. Randy Black. Richard Afable.
Yes.
Jim Palmer.
Abstain.
Jack Twan.
Yes.
District Attorney Todd Spitzer.
Yes, yes.
Marshall Moncrief. Tita Smith.
Yes.
Teresa Murphy.
Yes.
And the motion does carry with the voting members present. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. We now move on to item three. Madam Clerk, would you read the item?
Yes, so item three is to create an ad hoc working group to provide recommendations on next steps for the Commission to End Homelessness. At this time, any members of the public wishing to speak on item three, please press star 9 on your telephone now or raise your hand in the Zoom app. And I do see one hand raised, and I'm going to give it just a few moments if anybody else would like to speak on this item. I have three requests now from the public to speak. If there's anyone else, please raise your hand now. Okay, Chairman, we have three requests to speak, so I will not accept any other requests to speak for this item at this time. We'll start with Steve McNally. And Steve, you should be able to unmute yourself now, and I will start the timer.
Okay, thank you. And you can all hear me okay? Is that correct?
Yes.
I did want to comment on the previous topic, but I didn't get down to the end. I'm going to revise my comments that were noted in the minutes and send them to Jason. The one thing that's missing is Riverside ended veterans homelessness. Kern ended chronic homelessness as part of the community solutions. That is the $100 million grant that San Diego's participating in. But I want to get to this topic, and that's I'm not sure where y'all will end up. Ad hocs make me nervous because the community has difficulty getting access to anyone of importance. And if you go to an ad hoc and keep the community out, you don't allow community participation to help solve the problem. We only know what's here, which is 12 people who have 12 ways to solve it. And the last meeting, there was a lot of you all found that you were conflicted in a lot of ways. And I'm not a provider. I just have a son who has serious mental illness. Homeless was part of the journey. It's not all of it. We're siloed as a community because our agencies are siloed because they don't work well together, which isn't uncommon. But until we fix that, we're not going to really get a lot of solutions that really help community people who need help. Also, the other thing is Jason did say something I think that was missed, and that's there's $250 million of it pre-May revise for assisted residential facilities, of which Orange County's 8% would be $20 million for boarding cares. It's not a topic anybody appears to want to talk about in our county, but the continuum of care is important. You know, we got shelters with no place to go, or we don't know where they go. And my count on the point in time count is 1,600 people with mental illness. And if we have 40 people sheltered with, just funded with MHSA funds, that's a caseload of 40. So my question is, does everybody, are they in the reservation system? And does everyone have a plan for when they're ready? And thank you for the liberties of letting me speak, because I guess I added what maybe a community member might add if they were included in your work group. So thank you for your work and have a terrific day.
Okay, thank you very much. And next will be Pat Davis. Pat, you should be able to unmute yourself now. And thanks. I will start the timer.
Thank you. And thank you for adding the comments. I've missed the opportunity to comment as Jason made his presentation. So I do speak in support of an ad hoc working group and thank Jason for his work and I think a vision. I'm not sure who all helped him, but he's always spoken with a bigger vision and certainly recognizing that housing is the result that will end homelessness. As I look at the pillars, they hit all the bases. I'm curious when wanting to survey service providers, I would the focus is on shaking up those services. And let's start by surveying the unhoused and those who are probably recently housed and what their success is like. The wish I had is that this group would move away from a shelter model, because actually with the money's coming, they're asking for groups to do that. And while you don't have the money, as the chair mentioned, you can influence some of those decisions. The housing vouchers are exciting, but it's still a drop in the bucket. So we've got to be more creative with all those things. And I did want to thank Mr. Wyatt and Ms. Parks for clarifying the conditions around how people become homelessness. The narrative that always starts with mental health and substance abuse is quite troubling. Any of us who were in that situation would probably be in that boat within a very short period of time. We wouldn't have to rise to the level of chronic. And as far as housing in the name, I think it's essential. play around with it. That is what ends homelessness. And there was mention of subject matter experts in this room, which I do recognize, but I found it interesting that none of those folks could be considered for chair. So again, I appreciate the work of the group. Jason, good luck with that as it moves forward. And I hope that this group supports you in that and creates a bigger vision. Thank you.
Madam Clerk, do you have any more public speakers?
Yes, yes, we do. Our last speaker will be Karen Hernandez. So Karen, you should be able to unmute yourself now and I'll start the timer, go ahead.
Thank you very much. I just wanna echo everything that Pat said and thank Jason for his presentation and also Sue for the clarification, because I think all too many times folks really do tend to categorize unhoused people as just they're there because they're drug addicts and they are mentally incapacitated in some capacity. And the reality is that if we didn't have a home, we would probably be in a very similar predicament. And I just do, again, want to uplift that I think we should try and move away as much from the shelter model as we can. I am an advocate in several different organizations. I actually sit outside of Theo Lacey a few days a week doing jail release support, and more, as Sheriff Barnes has uplifted here in the past, that, you know, there are, we used to average maybe 1 to 2 releasees a night who were unhoused, and we're going upwards of 5 or more lately. And it's just an awful thing to not be able to point them in a direction where they can get immediate assistance. The only thing we can offer them is, you know, a blanket, some food, some clothing if they need it. A lot of folks are released with nothing. And I just want you to remember these folks, because many of them are veterans, many of them are young, many of them still, you know, even if they're older, they have a future and they deserve a home. And we have, you know, we have the resources, we have the capability to be able to solve this. I do wish that, you know, we could bring in some advocates and some other members of the community into this ad hoc group as well, just because I think you need folks that, you know, deal with these folks on a different level than just some of the service providers. I think a lot of times folks are scared to go to some of these organizations for a variety of different reasons. But, you know, there is vast evidence that points to permanent supportive housing being the most effective and humane way to address chronic homelessness. So, again, just want to thank you for your time and consideration on all these matters. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. And Mr. Chair, we have no further requests to speak.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Jason, you lead this discussion on the creation of a working group, what you have in mind. You will be the one working with the working group.
Right. So we are looking to develop a small, agile working group of probably no more than 4 members. I will lead the group and we will work together based on the conversations and discussions that we've had today. So we're looking for the vote to approve the development of the ad hoc committee. And then we will hit the ground running. I think a lot of fantastic ideas have come up today. I really, I appreciate the public comment. And I think that there's definitely a lot of focus on mental health and substance use and other physical health issues. But we try to, I think, carry our focus in services as a housing first model. And so housing can be the answer to a lot of other issues. And I think that these are the discussions in a smaller group that we could really focus on and bring them back to the larger commission to then take next steps or look at further action. So it's an amazing opportunity. I think we can really take this and go in a lot of positive directions.
Are you looking for people to contact you if they're interested in serving on the committee?
Yes, I'd like everyone to think about it for hearing everything that we're talking about today. I don't necessarily need people to raise their hands quite yet. If you can contact me directly over the next few days, and then I will get back to you all myself, and we will schedule the meeting and get things moving.
Are there comments from any of the commissioners?
Yeah, this is Mr. Chairman, this is Todd. Can I be heard on that?
Please do.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So Jason, what are we looking for? I mean, it shouldn't just be, you know, anybody who wants to volunteer. I mean, shouldn't there be representatives? Aren't we looking for a diversity among subject matter expertise? I mean, what we did, this isn't just a call to arms generically. What do we want? Where's the gap? What kind of input do you want? What kinds of questions are you going to be tackling? Who has that expertise?
I am looking for expertise in housing, and I think that should be the first step that we take. But I think that if we can get a sampling of our commission first to have these discussions, I don't know that everyone will be in the work group long term. I think we need to meet together to have these other discussions and to really focus in on how do we start looking at housing as our next step for all of the pillars. There has been other interest in some of the other pillar areas. So I appreciate that, DA Spitzer, in that we need to focus in for the first couple of groups. And then from there, as we have these discussions back in the commission, if we have to make changes or bring other people in, then we have that opportunity. I think the flexibility of this ad hoc arrangement once approved is it behooves us well to be able to address any of the pillar related issues. I know there's a lot of focus on mental health, and that is very important. And I could see that being part of the discussion, but I think we need to address housing opportunities in this county. And that's where I think all of us, you know, as we're in everything that people are discussing, that's the direction we need to go.
Well, I just want to weigh in on that because City Councilman Bonin in LA is going to be recalled because he's trying to take over public beaches and you know, places that people are like over my dead body. So I really hope that a city manager, local government person, land use expert, obviously a Dan Young and others are land use experts, but you know, those big issues about coming out with ideas about where to put housing, you know, little houses all over Los Angeles. I mean, we really need people who obviously represent local government.
Absolutely.
All right, well, thanks for clarifying that, Jason. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And Commissioner Wyatt has requested to be heard on this item.
So Jason, one of the things that I thought limited our effectiveness and, you know, previously on the commission was the limited number of work groups. You can have a work group, of course, up to, you know, so you don't have a majority. So we could, I think our limit was 8. But because the, you know, the director wanted to essentially chair each work group or be, you know, a key part of each work group, we ended up with 3 work groups, one on housing, one on social services, and one on data integration. And I felt that, you know, we could have had more independent work groups of smaller who could take topics and go run and bring it back to, you know, to then coordinate upward, as opposed to having, you know, fewer work groups in order to move faster. I think we're just not agile enough. Mm-hmm. If with one work group. So we had a chair to each of those areas who had some expertise. I remember, for example, as we talked about, Dan Young headed the housing group at that time. And I think Dr. Affable headed the social services group. Anyway, we had some, Jason. Anyway, I think you have 4 groups here. At 4 pillars, at least you could start by looking for somebody who could head each of those areas and have those. And then you could, to save your time and effort, attend on some rotating basis so you don't have to attend every meeting every time of each of those work groups. Anyway, I think there's an idea that we have a number of people here who can carry some load. And I think that the opportunity to offload some of your work onto groups and then report back and our obviously our commission meetings are be where the report of the work groups come back together to bring them into the whole commission. But anyway, I would suggest we look to do more than one, I guess. That's my input. Thank you.
I appreciate the comments, and I definitely considered that as well. I know that that Susan had multiple groups, and I had attended one in my previous role and in some of those other work groups. And my goal, I think, is we need to really focus. We need to get some things done. And so what I would recommend for this action item is if we can move forward with the one work group, this could be also a point of discussion in the ad hoc to discuss, maybe bringing in additional work groups once some things can be discussed. But my concern is spreading everybody too thin too quickly as well. So I would recommend, let's start with the one. We can always do more from there, but let's focus, let's get some goals set, and let's make some things happen first, and then we can expand. And I'm just concerned about, we really want to show let's just get some things done first. So that would be my recommendation, but I'm always open to other opinions.
Madam Clerk, are there any other commenters from among our commissioners? Do you see any? I can't tell. So.
Yeah, no, not at this time.
All right. The proposal is to create a working group to kind of flesh this out. I think the working group can look at the four pillars, actually, although they may focus on one. Are these the right pillars? Is there a different pillar that should be in there? Maybe mental health is one. I don't know. But it's to kind of start to bring things together, come back to the board to see where we can go, and to kind of take ideas and put them where they can be effectively advocated, I think. So is there a motion to create a working group?
I'll move to create a working group.
Thank you, Sue. Is there a second?
Second, Tita Smith.
Thank you, Tita. All right. Any further discussion? Madam Clerk, would you please call for the vote?
Thank you. Please indicate your vote, yes, no, or abstain when I call your name. And we'll start with our chairman, Doug Chafee.
Your vote.
Chairman?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
I was asking for your vote.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, aye.
Dan Young?
Yes.
Supervisor Wagner?
Aye.
Ken Domer? Scott Stiles?
Yes.
Paul Wyatt?
Yes.
Sue Parks?
Yes.
Tom Casella? Randy Black? Richard Afable?
Yes.
Jim Palmer?
Yes.
Jack Twan?
Yes.
District Attorney Todd Spitzer?
No.
Marshall Moncrief? Tita Smith?
Yes.
Teresa Murphy?
Yes.
And the motion does pass with the majority vote of the members present.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Again, if you have an interest in working on the working group, please contact Jason and he'll take it from there. At this time, we're moving on to public comment, the general comments, but I think most of the comments have been general in nature anyway, but are there any more public comments?
Okay, so at this time, any members of the public who would like to speak during general public comments, please press *9 on your telephone now or raise your hand in the Zoom app. And we do have one request, but I want to give it just a moment more in case there are any others. Okay, it appears at this time we just have one request from the public to speak, so I won't accept any more requests to speak after this. Our speaker is David Duran. So David, you should be able to unmute yourself now, and I will start the timer.
Thank you very much. And thank you, Jason, for recognizing that the state, the county, and really the world is a housing first model that has proven itself to be primarily the best way to resolve homelessness. Thank you for that. And I just received an email today that I thought would be important to share. We had done a records request to see how many people have passed without abode since the clearing of the riverbed. And not including May, the total was 861 individuals, men, women, children, have died on the streets without abode. So again, housing by itself, I totally understand is not the answer. That must be supported with services for some, not for everyone, but for some. But dying on the streets alone without a home is unconscionable in 2021 in one of the wealthiest counties in the nation or in the world. So I too would, you know, I know I wouldn't be chosen, but I too would like to at least help somehow. To at least give our findings, our meaning, housing is a human right, Orange County, People's Homeless Task Force, People's Budget OC, to give our input and our findings on what we've discovered with the population that we're joined to serve. We have federal money in the amounts of about $366 million. It's coming to the county from the the ARPA funds that will be headed our way. So again, it's not about money that can help to resolve this. It is really about will, and it's about having the right things in place. So I'm hoping that an open mind to doing the right thing will finally be recognized without the aspects of criminalization, without the aspects of lack of motivation, and without the aspects of the county throwing, throwing needless funds at other entities that are already, you know, performing well. So thank you. There's plenty more to say, but thank you.
Madam Clerk, do we have any additional public speakers?
And Chairman, we have no further requests to speak.
Well, thank you. Then we'll move on to commissioner comments. Any comments that commissioners would care to make at this time? Well, let me make a comment here. We seem to have a number of vacancies now on our board. Ken Domer, for example, is no longer the city manager in Fullerton. Probably someone else would need to step up and replace him. We have a couple of vacancies. Otherwise, one with the Sheriff Department, another with the Affordable Housing Development. So I don't know how we go about replacing them. Is that something that the group would nominate? Or Jason, would you find us some candidates? How does this work? How do these appointments, or does it go back to the Board of Supervisors?
So for the actual, once we have our candidates, it would come to the board. But for anyone interested, they can come through my office, the Office of Care Coordination, to apply for open seats, and we can put more information out into the community about what's open for the different seats that people were holding before. So we can do an open recruitment for those, and we can take care of that in my department.
Okay, well, I think we should fill out the vacancies when we have a chance to do that. And then a little bit about myself. During the 90s and the first 10 years of this century, I was very involved in affordable housing as a developer, builder, a special project manager, in that case, working in the city of Anaheim. A special project manager meant I didn't have any projects, rather got the parts of projects or problems. So I have experience with affordable housing financing, almost always using tax credits and other means of layered financing. I work closely with architects and builders in creating affordable housing. So that's not a foreign subject to me by any means. So I also would mention that I think I saw the ultimate in homelessness when I served as a Peace Corps volunteer in India. So with that, we're going to adjourn the meeting to our next meeting, which is presently scheduled for June 16 at 1 p.m. So thank all of you for your ideas and thoughts. Let's move forward and make this an effective tool to help really end homelessness. So thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye.